As Bethany opened her Amazon parcel, her heart began to race. Waterproof LCD display and heart rate monitoring. This fitness tracker won first place with Bethany for quality and price. 5 stars from Bethany. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, 5 minutes after 12 is the time, your weekly opportunity to find a little fun and frolic in the middle of your radio dial. I'll tell you briefly how it works. Someone rings in with a question, someone else rings in with an answer. That someone could, of course, be you. And it gets better. It gets better. Seriously. If you're my favourite contributor of the week, you can win a Mystery Hour ball game. I think, and we may need to check this, is this currently the only feature on British radio exciting and popular enough to have spawned its own board game? I mean, they have happened in the past. I have seen them in the past. But I think that this is the only... I think it is. Someone's going to correct me now, probably. I'll have to issue a grovelling apology to... Well, I don't know who. Probably Popmaster. Actually, there's probably a Popmaster ball game. All right, I take that back. Scratch all of that. Forget I ever said it. Anyway, you can win a brilliant, brilliant Mystery Hour board game, one of the only radio features ever to spawn its own board game, by being my favourite contributor. Find out the full terms and conditions for the competition at lbc.co.uk. Or go to mysteryhour.co.uk to find out more about the game. Well, you can't really find... Well, you can find out a bit more about the game, but more importantly, you can buy the thing. That's what you want to do. That's what you really want to do. 6 minutes after 12 is the time. Just a quick one on Edwin Collins and orange juice and the important clarification I provided a moment ago, that when Keir Starmer said he discovered orange juice when he went to Leeds University, he wasn't talking about the drink, although quite a few of you have been in touch to tell me that growing up, for example, in rural Cornwall in the 1960s, we never had orange juice. I do like it when the inbox goes off on a complete tangent. But somewhere on the interwebs, and I think we found this before, somewhere on the internet, I appear in an improvised comedy drama television programme with Edwin Collins of Orange Juice, playing playing a music journalist. So I'm not even joking. So somewhere, I think someone dug it out once. Someone, I appear also on a Michael Crick documentary about Tony Blair, and someone found that when we mentioned it on air. I also appear in the background of Vera Lynn's 80th birthday party at the Imperial War Museum when Margaret Thatcher was in attendance, and someone found that. I'm telling Bob Holness a joke in the background. Two LBC legends in the same room. I'm telling Bob Holness a joke, and someone found that footage. So it's astonishing what people can find. I don't have the skills, the research skills to do it, but I'm not making this up. When I was on the Express, Edwin Collins wanted a journalist to come and play a journalist when he was filming an improvised comedy show about a mythical pop band. And I did it, and I remember I came out with a phrase, I can't remember whether it made the final cut or not, but I said something like, "This isn't music, this is music," which I was really pleased with at the time. Should we get on? Yeah, I think we should get on with Mystery Hour, actually, don't you? Brian's in Wigan. Brian, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Brian.
Good afternoon.
We met
at your gig at the hall in Manchester.
It was. Tell you what, Brian. Have you warmed up yet?
No, I haven't. Actually.
It was freezing. I've never been in such a cold room in my life. It was absolutely outrageous. I can't believe what they charged us and they didn't put the radiators on. But we digress. It's like, thank you for coming along to
it. It was frosty. I'm part of the Dream Team, if you remember the Dream Team.
Fantastic.
Why are some people in Belgium called Flemish?
Because they are Flemings.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's the country of Fleming, then?
I don't know. I think it's just a someone else will know the answer, but it's probably got something to do with religion, hasn't it, and language. But it refers to a dialect. It refers to a language. Most people in Belgium are Flemish, but I don't know any more than that. I think what I'm doing now is scrabbling around for information that I can remember from a previous answer to a previous question, and I've run out. I've got nothing else. Flemish, Flemings is definitely a thing, because it feels a bit like flamingos. Fleming's Fleming. No, right, Brian, thank you, mate. I shall do my best to get you an answer. Why are some Belgians called Flemish? Well, Flemings. They are Flemish. What does it mean? Is there a Flemland? Where does the word come from? All of those, please, and more. 12:09 is the time. I'm just going to chop that down. Brian and Flemish. Mark is in Morden. Mark, question or answer?
Hi, James. I got a question for you today.
Yeah.
My question is about glass, like windows.
Right.
What is it about glass that allows light to travel through it, but for other solid objects, light can't? It just, like, hits it.
Well, it's transparent.
Right, but what does that actually mean, though?
It means light can pass through it.
Right, but why? Why? What?
Because it's transparent. I think we could be here a while, but I don't know that there's any more to add to it, is there?
Well, there has to be something specific about the object itself that allows it to be transparent, that allows the light to pass through it. But I'm wondering...
You can't conflate the two things. The light can pass through it because it is transparent. And it is transparent because light can pass through it. I don't know what else you would find.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I could be making a fool of myself again, but I mean, what is the quality of transparency? It means that light can pass through it.
Or like on the other side, like what is about light that allows it to pass through a transparent object?
You can't change the question now. That's not how it works at all. But what is it about glass that means light can travel through it, even though it's solid? All right. I mean, if someone rings in and says it's because it's transparent, I'm going to ban them from the program forever. but I'm almost certain now, thinking about it, there's going to be a more intelligent answer to this than I've managed to come up with, because there is a rule. One of the golden rules of Mystery Hour is that if I think a question's daft, it's usually me that ends up looking daft. 11, not always, mind. Paul's in Rayleigh. Paul, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
It's a music question, so where does the suspense music dum 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 originate from?
Silent films.
Well, they're silent, so...
Yeah, but they had music, didn't they, Clever Clocks? It's going to be one of those weeks, isn't it? It's silent films, everyone does their own sound effects. No, they had a musical accompaniment to silent films. It must have been. It's like, you know, the cliffhanger music at the end of an episode when she's tied to the train tracks or something. Dun, dun, dun. I'm pretty sure that's right, and so are you deep down. But obviously I can't prove it, and I don't have any qualifications.
Fair enough.
So I'll leave it on the board. Dun, dun, dun. Can we find it, Keith? Is that too much? Like, is that too difficult? We'll be able to find a dun, 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 because it's going to sound awful if I have to keep doing it. Right, If I was Frank Hester, I'd put 10 million quid on it being something to do with silent films. But I'm not, so we'll call it 50p. Thank you. Do you know, have we done this before, Paul? Do you know why Rayleigh is a particularly pertinent place to Mystery Hour?
I do know that it was the only place in the Doomsday book where the castle had a vineyard.
Is that true?
Yeah, I've read that in a book that I'm reading at the moment.
It's not 100
years of...
100 years of Rayleigh.
No, 1,000 years of annoying the French.
That sounds fun. The reason why Rayleigh has a particular place in Mystery Hour, in the hearts of Mystery Hour fans, is that the highest honour you can achieve on Mystery Hour is a Ray Liotta, which is when I play a little clip of the late actor Ray Liotta sharing the motto of the whole programme, not just of Mystery Hour, although we play it more often on Mystery Hour than any other time. And many people believed for some time, and some still do, that the award is actually a Ray Liotta. And they don't understand. Yeah, well, there are no otters in Rayleigh, but they don't know that. And they don't understand why a radio show would make a song and dance about an otter in Rayleigh and then play a clip of some unidentified American actor talking about if you build it, they will come. So for years, people were listening to that going, what the hell is going on? And there aren't any otters in. So that's why we have a soft spot for Rayleigh.
Well, that's nice, isn't it?
You live and learn.
I'm going off to hunting now.
Well, good luck. It is 14 minutes after 12. We need to know, where does that dun 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 music come from? Why does light pass through glass? You can't say because it's transparent. And where does Flemish? What does Flemish? Flanders? Is it Flanders? Is it Flanders? Flanders, Ned Flanders, I don't know, 12, 15, give or take.
Hayes Catering is a small company run by two brothers, selling food at festivals across the UK. But when COVID struck, the plug was pulled on live events. To help fill the gap, Barclays provided them with a loan so they could diversify their business. And now that live music is back, so are Hayes Catering. Grow your business. Bank on Barclays. Search Barclays Business Banking.
As Bethany opened her Amazon parcel, her heart began to race. Waterproof LCD display and heart rate monitoring. This fitness tracker won first place with Bethany for quality and price. 5 stars from Bethany. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
18 minutes after 12 is the time. It's nearly Friday. Well, in terms of the time we spend together, it's not nearly Friday in terms of your life and your day. But I've got, you know, it'd be 1 o'clock soon, and then it's Friday effectively for us. And we still haven't talked about the photo, have we? It's getting madder and madder, this story. I mean, truly, truly bonkers. I suggested to you, it sounded like something out of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, that, didn't it? Truly, truly scrumptious. I said to you yesterday, the maddest thing about the whole thing for me is that somebody somewhere, some very influential and important people who know everything about what's going on with Kate and William Windsor, have decided that all of this speculation is preferable to just putting the unvarnished truth out there. That's the bit I can't quite get my head around, because it gives some credibility to some of the conspiracy theories. Not all of them, but some of them. And I suggested to you yesterday that the Daily Mail had taken an interesting step when they turned on Kate and they deployed one of their professional sort of spitters of bile to claim that somehow Kate and William needed to reveal the details of what was going on, otherwise they were going to drown in a quagmire. You can't drown in a quagmire, but since when did the Daily Mail care about such technicalities? And I thought that was a bit odd, because it was a little bit of proof of Prince Harry's explanation that these people will turn you. So I suspect the Daily Mail's mailbag exploded yesterday with readers absolutely outraged that a columnist called Sarah Vine should have dared to criticise the saintly Kate. Because today they've had to stick it on the front page. Male readers and columnist Belle Mooney unite to say, give Kate a break. I'm not a complete expert on such matters, but I imagine that there was a bit of a panic at the Daily Mail yesterday when the readers actually responded to Sarah Vine's article, results in a page 4 full page story. It's time to back off and give Kate space, say male readers. Your letter's special, pages 56 and 57. And columnist Belle Mooney writes, I'm recovering from surgery too, and I know how helpless and humiliated the princess will be feeling. That's why she must now be left in peace to heal. And completely different Daily Mail that had on its front page yesterday the insistence that they better come clean soon, otherwise they'll be drowning in a quagmire of their own making. It's almost as if these people don't believe in anything. They sometimes forget whether it's the tail that wags the dog or the dog that wags the tail. Back to Mystery, thankfully. Raj is in Manchester. Raj, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Okay, so let me get the question up clearly first.
Okay.
So if a man is unwell, so let's say he's 70% in himself, so he'd had a cold or a flu or something, but he's only about 70-80% in himself.
Yeah.
So then let's say his partner is ovulating, so they have sex.
Right.
Does that mean the sperm that fertilises the egg would be less as, well, if you say 70-80%, and therefore would the child, if it is one born, would be less, there would be not as 70-80, it would only be 70-80%. Because the father was originally unwell.
I'd say it's a quite a complicated question.
This. I know. That's why I tried to get it out clearly as I can. Does it make sense of how I explained it?
No, because I know a bit about this, because we had fertility treatment back in the day, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I know enough to answer what it is you're asking. The bottom line is yes, that your fertility, your quality of sperm can be affected by things like flu. I don't think that there's such a thing as a defective sperm. So it would just lower the likelihood of you fertilizing your partner's egg. It would lower the likelihood of a pregnancy. But it wouldn't mean that if a sperm, because to get through, to make it through, a sperm's got to be in pretty good nick. So the ones that make it are not going to make it and then somehow be subpar, which I think is also part of what you're asking.
Yes, it is, because obviously there's a child if it is one born.
No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. I'm 99% sure. I mean, I'm no, you know, geneticist, but I'm 99% sure it doesn't work like that.
Well, hopefully a doctor will come on and the fertility doctor.
What do you mean a doctor? What do you mean hopefully? If I've given you 100% answer on your first question,
99%, James,
and 99% on your second question, it's not. You're not going to have. You're not going to have a. I mean, you put. I can't believe they've let you on, frankly, Raj. You've put me in such
a
difficult. Well, I mean, I've nearly said something. Then you're not going to have a. You're not going to have a. I can't flip in heck. What have you put this fella through for?
I think it's a very interesting question.
Well, it might be a very interesting question, but it's daytime radio. I can't start talking.
No, but it's not like a.
What?
There's
nothing wrong with you. I'm not cross with you. I'm not cross with you, Raj. You've done nothing wrong. You rang in good faith.
Don't say anything about your producers and the researchers, because they've been very kind, Evan. I've been on a few times.
To you, they have. They've been kind to you. They've hung me out to dry, mate.
They have. But I've been trying my best to get on for this question. So I've been ringing for about 3-4 weeks, really, and they've always been putting me off. So they finally got me on.
Well, there you go. Patience is a virtue.
Exactly, exactly.
All right. Have you got, are you a bit poorly at the moment? Is that why you're worried?
No, I'm fine. My kids are old enough. I've got an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. There's no way I'm having any more.
So you're out of that game. You're just curious.
Absolutely.
You're just...
I'm wondering whether I was ill when I conceived my two. That's what it is.
Right. Good Lord. This has taken a bit.
It's taken a downward turn, this conversation, has James.
It certainly has. Oh, right. I'll try and find out. So here's the question, right? Illness affects sperm. But does that affect a child born as a consequence of that? Oh, Lord above. What are you even thinking putting this through? Thank you, Raj. Again, I shall take out all of my unhappiness on my colleagues, not on you. Let's go to Adriana, who's in Walton-on-Thames. Adriana, what would you like to say?
I've got an answer for the Flemish thing.
Happy days. Carry on.
Right. So Belgium is divided into two sections.
Yes.
One is the French-speaking section, which
Walloons.
Is Wallonia.
Walloons!
And the Dutch-speaking section is Flanders.
Flanders. Flanders.
Which is, in Dutch, is Vlaanderen. And the people speak Flemish.
That's it, then. It's pretty straightforward. So it comes from Flanders. It comes from the Dutch, the original word for which we've anglicised into Flanders. And the language that you speak if you're from Flanders is Flemish.
It's like Dutch, but very bastardised. Dutch.
Can most people speak both?
Yeah.
If you can speak Flemish, you can speak Dutch. If you can speak Dutch, you can speak Flemish.
Yeah, although we think that I'm Dutch, and we think we're posher than they are.
Is that right? And those qualifications are?
I'm Dutch.
That'll do nicely.
Learned it at primary school.
And can most Belgians speak Flemish and French?
I think definitely the French-speaking one can speak Flemish, but I think it's yes, both ways. I think you have to learn it at primary school speak it at home.
Germanic language, very close to Dutch, but it'll have a lot of French in it as well. And then if you get into southern Belgium or Wallonia...
It's completely French.
It's French all day long. Round of applause for Adriana, please.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. First one of the day. 12:25 is the time. John is in Leamington Spa. John, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, John.
So, why is glass transparent? It's basically because the light waves that sort of come from any light source do not interact with the solid structure of glass. So, infrared and UV waves can be blocked, but in typical fashion, normal white light waves aren't blocked at all. It is, unfortunately, please don't hate me for saying this, it's the very definition of the word transparent.
Well, that's what I thought.
From a scientific point of view.
No, you've done your best, but I knew that that's what was lurking. That was the elephant in the room, wasn't it, John?
Unfortunately,
you've just defined transparent, effectively. So when he asked, when Mark said, why does light pass through it? I said, because it's transparent!
And you were 100% right. Why is it transparent? Because light
passes through it. It's a perfect question, but absolutely awful for Mystery Hour. To be honest, I'd have got cross about that question if it wasn't for Raj popping up a few minutes ago with an even worse one. What are your qualifications?
I have a Master's in Chemical Engineering.
Ah, there you go. Round of applause for John. Beautifully done. beautifully done. 12:26 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Jack's in Bristol. Jack, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Now, keep calm, because it's somewhat of a motoring question.
Oh, Lord above. This is what I knew it was going to be one of those weeks. I do this. Do you know, they genuinely do this. They actually sort of, my own colleagues troll me live on the radio between 12 and 1 on a Thursday. Go on then, fill your boots.
Right. We are a family of one car. Often I'm away using car.
Yeah.
What I want to know is why taxis are legally exempt from safety belts when it comes to young children. Like car seats. So like you have a car seat and it doesn't have to be belted up, right? So I can't think of any reason, and it's on the government website to say it's, you know, they are exempt. I can't think of any reason logically why you're allowed to somewhat endanger your kids.
So what do you mean? You can take a child into a taxi without using a car seat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if they're, you know, really young, you know, a week old.
You can sit with them on the back seat holding them. Or the front seat, I suppose. I didn't know that.
The only thing I can think of, right?
Yeah. You're not really supposed to answer your own questions.
Yeah, well, I don't have it right. I don't have the knowledge. I'm sure a taxi driver will call up. But, you know, maybe there's a little bit of time saved between passenger and passenger, so taxi drivers can, you know, use that time to get another customer because of the time taking a safety belt.
Oh, yeah, it could be that. It could
be
that.
I mean? Yeah, so it's not a good enough reason.
Well, it's a cost-benefit ratio, isn't it? Most things like this are. So somewhere a calculation has been made that it would harm the taxi driver, and the likelihood of, well, I mean, it's a great question. Why don't children have to use car seats in taxis? Because on a hire car you do. Well, I don't know if you have to. I presume you have to, because you know you get to the hire car place and there's a big pile of car seats in the back, isn't there? And you try and get hold of one. And having said that, the taxi firms often have car seats as well. But you've double checked, and there is no legal requirement to do it.
There isn't any legal requirement. No.
Right, you're on. It's a good question. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you very much.
It's not really a motoring question. Tech per se. Well, I mean, it is, but it isn't. But it is, but it isn't. Well, Bill's found it. Can you believe it? Bill has found the God, look at me there. When would that have been? That thing I did with Edwin Collins. He's found some pictures. He hasn't. It's not moving footage. They're stills. Forgot what I looked like without a beard. Remembered why I grew one. But look at all my lovely hair as well. So that thing I was talking to you about, I can't remember what it was called. Bill, can you? But I tell you what, I'll retweet it so you can have a look. There it is. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Amelia Cox is here now with your headlines.
And my name's Stan.
I'm Anne. Nice to meet you.
So you took up photography when?
I've always loved photography, but I turned it into earning a living.
That's
at 60.
Yeah.
I enrolled on a day course.
Well, college?
Loved going to college.
It's good you can retrain and do something.
Yeah.
Let's talk about working, learning, saving and making the most of living longer. Phoenix Group is the UK's largest long-term savings and retirement business. Search Phoenix Group Living Longer.
Health isn't someday in the future, it's now. It's same-day GP appointments when you need that niggle seen to. And getting the results for your cancer test fast. Health is a direct line to experts, whatever time of day you need it. And mental health support that doesn't have an expiry date. Feeling your best every day starts today. Search Bupa Health Insurance to get your quote now. Bupa, this is health. Pre-existing conditions not covered. Terms and conditions apply.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
12:33 is the time. We've done the Flemish. We've done the glass. Where does the cliff? Have we got any cliffhanging music, Keith? Nothing at all. Well, I'm going to have to do it myself. Dun dun dun. Dun what? Okay, sorry. Dun dun dun. So put some effort in. I can't put any more. You put some bloody effort in. You're supposed to be finding a clip of it. Honestly. Then there's Raj's question about sperm and Jack's question about seatbelts. Why is taxis, you don't have to put a kid in a child seat, a child in a child seat. How come? What's the reasoning behind that? Do we know? And some breaking news for you. Here it is. I should have known. I'm so sorry. I should have blinking known. I should have known. Guess what? There's another 5 million quid. I just did a mug to camera then for YouTube. There's another 5 million quid. Don't forget to like and subscribe and ring that bell. Ding, ding, ding. Hey, YouTubers. There's another 5 million quid. Steve, what's his name? Frank Hester. There's another £5 million that hasn't come out yet. It's sort of like there's only a roundup. This is Tortoise reporting it. Kat Nealon at Tortoise, brilliant journalist. A Tory source said the party was sitting on the cash. The Conservatives have received an as yet undeclared £5 million sum from Frank Hester. They can't give it, so that would put him on £15 million. He is already responsible for £10.2 million of the £48 million that the party received in donations last year. I don't think they'll have received that much this year so far. £5 million quid currently sitting there, which would then come out in the next round of disclosures. Conservative Party spokesman did not deny that the party had received the additional £5 million, telling Tortoise declarable donations will be published in the usual way by the Electoral Commission. How much money is he making out of these government contracts? Imagine having 15 million quid to spare. The only silver lining to this whole sorry saga is that he's, I mean, surely not going to get the knighthood or the seat in the House of Lords that he's so obviously pitching for. Surely even this lot, I suppose resignation honours be extraordinary. I mean, that'd be all sorts of... But if you look at... The problem with saying there's no way they could put this character in the House of Lords is that a very quick look at who Boris Johnson did put in the House of Lords, and to a lesser extent David Cameron, and of course to an equal extent Liz Truss, rather proves the point they'll put anyone there these days. 12:36 is the time. Excuse me. Walker is in Nelson in Lancashire. Walker, question or answer?
Hello, James. It's a question, please. But can I just say thank you for the answer I got about my transplant organs?
That was a while ago.
It was a while ago. You asked all the right questions in response that I would have asked as well, so thank you for that.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Glad to be of service, Walker.
So my question today is, when we have to write a word multiple times,
yeah,
why does it start to look wrong?
Crikey, that's a bit philosophical. Well, no, not even. What is it? Are you sure that it does? Are we sure that it... Yeah? I'm just going to practice it now. I'm going to write poem. Poem. This is amazing radio. Stay there, everyone. Poem. Oh, look at that. You're right. It's like you start thinking, is it P-E-O-M? Or poem. If you write down a word multiple times, at one point you will start wondering if you're actually writing it down correctly.
Yes.
That's a great question. I'll tell you what, though. I'll be amazed if we get an answer. Who's going to know the answer to that?
No idea.
Not me. That was a rhetorical question. But Walker, leave it with me. I mean, you were a very satisfied customer last time. You may be a less satisfied customer this time. There's a challenge for the etymology. Oh, I don't know. What would it be? Etymology? I don't know what it would be. Words looking weird. Steve's in Oxford. Steve, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on, Steve.
Relates to child seats in private hire taxi coaches,
yes,
minibuses and the like. Because this question sort of covers coaches, buses and minibuses as well.
Didn't know that, but now you come to mention it, I've never seen a child seat on a bus.
No, it's they're just not there. Part of the problem is that private hire and taxi drivers and companies cannot be sure of what they may be requested for when collecting a passenger.
Yes.
Certain cases of public hire vehicles, they cannot be sure who's going to hail them and whether they would have an appropriate seat to satisfy the need. There is a question over liability slightly because we've had a case recently where an individual had a passenger with a child on their lap. The passenger in the rear of the vehicle chose to take off their seatbelt and were consequently stopped by the police, which still, even though the passenger was liable, there were questions over the safety and the fit and properness, basically, because there is still a duty of care. I don't want to go too deeply into the law over this, but there are still potentially penalties. The same as a private hire or taxi driver do not have to wear a seatbelt when they're driving a passenger for their own safety.
I knew that.
Yeah. So that's primarily the reason. But obviously, when they're under three, it's also more difficult because there's a slight question over government law, what it says about three-year-olds being unrestrained in the rear of vehicles as well. So, or up to the age of three. So it is slightly sort of back to front, as it were. But the primary reason is because drivers can't have a selection of seats available to them in a vehicle. If somebody pre-books with a car service, normally it can be arranged. But generally speaking, most drivers wouldn't have them on board.
Hey, blimey, that's a pretty comprehensive answer. Qualifications?
I drove for 26 years and I'm a officer for GMB Union representing private hire and taxi drivers.
Blimey, that'll do. Round of applause. How many are there? How many officers are there for the GMB Union representing private hire taxi drivers?
Well, seven regions plus a national lead now, which I used to do, and thousands of members, you know, everyone from private hire and taxi all over the country to you know the app drivers that you all know about.
Nice work, Steve. Round of applause.
Thanks.
No, thank you. Top man, Steve. Well played. 12:40. Andy's on the Norfolk Broads. It says here. Question or answer, Andy?
James.
Whereabouts on the Norfolk Broads?
I live on a little known village called Martham. We word Martham Broad.
Near Wroxham. I like the Norfolk Road. Do you know, can I confide in you, Andy?
Like just me and you, yeah?
Yeah, just me and you. I get a bit panicky when I think about the Norfolk Broads, because what I'd really like to do is go on a boating holiday on the Norfolk Broads.
Okay.
But I once hired a very small boat out of Wroxham, actually.
Yeah.
And I couldn't park it.
Generally the case, unfortunately.
Well, everyone else was doing all right. I couldn't park it to the point where I tried on a couple of occasions, and I got so self-conscious about people on the bank watching me mess it up time and time again that we've spent our entire trip moving.
Well, I think a lot of people don't realise that the Bure and the Yar is tidal and has quite a strong current, so when you do come to park it, because it does sound so romantic.
You're very, very, very kind. It was nothing to do. It was like a mill pond, mate. It was as flat as a pancake. I just rubbish
it. I'm trying to give you a reason.
I know you are, and I'm grateful. A very, very famous person who has a beautiful boat that they keep on the Norfolk Broads even offered me a lend of it, and I had to say, in all honesty, I can't possibly borrow your boat because I will sink it.
Well, I like to watch people in the summer trying to do just what you described.
You probably watched me, didn't you, mate?
Possibly.
Laughing your little socks off. Question or answer?
Oh, sorry, yeah, that's what I called. It's a question. And the Broads are relevant because this is a question regarding birds.
Yes.
Birds singing at night, not owls, obviously, but birds chirping, tweeting, whatever, singing at night in the dark, is it a new thing? Because I've just noticed it recently.
Same here.
Where I can hear. But yeah, is it a new thing?
I've literally noticed it in the last few months.
Yeah, me too.
How mad. Is there much light where you are, like street lights and stuff like that?
Well, there's been a new development. The village is growing.
Yeah.
There's a new development sort of 200 yards from where I live.
That might be it then.
There's more street lighting. So I just think, is that confusing the birds? Is it making them think it's daylight?
Because do you know what we've had done? We've had some new motion sensor lights put in out the back. Maybe that's what it is for us.
Could be.
Or is there a planetary phenomenon unfolding under our very noses?
Possibly. Well, I always say animals know a lot more than we do. And maybe they know more than what's going on. I don't know.
Who does? It's a mystery. How appropriate.
Yes.
I hope this doesn't sound inappropriate, but a lot of people have been in touch wondering whether you work in voiceover or anything like that, Andy.
That's very kind.
There just clinched it, didn't it? Really? You sound like an absolute natural. Are you sure? You don't? I mean, I know you'd know. There'd be no reason to. We had two voiceover artists on the other day, but no, never worked in those sort of thespian stuff.
I've had a lot of people say that, funnily enough, and I went and did some voiceover training for public speaking, and then I realised how much I do not like rejection, and I stopped sort of
it's
trying.
It's not the game for you, then.
I do in North Norfolk, I do a community radio show every 2 weeks.
North Norfolk Digital.
Pretty much is North Norfolk Digital, but I'm under another name.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because, I mean, listen to this. I love this guy's voice. I'm in love with Norfolk man's voice, says Tracy. Guy from the Broads has a great voice, says Jamie. Man from Norfolk Broads has such an amazing voice, says Angela. There's loads of love for you, Carmen. But no one ever says that about my voice. I do this for a living. This is outrageous. Whereabouts in North Norfolk? What's the station called in North Norfolk? You don't have to tell me. I don't want to embarrass you, but I spend quite...
If anyone is interested, it's called Poppyland Radio, and my show is the Classic Rock Show.
Oh, of course it is. Come on, with that voice. What else is it going to be? It's the Classic Rock Show.
I'll tell you what, I've spent years, you know, because I do so much driving for a living. Well, yeah. Not for a living, but to get to work, obviously, and I... to amuse myself, I do a lot of, I mimic a lot of voiceovers.
Fantastic.
And I love your guy that says Mystery Hour, basically calls it Mystery Hour.
Mystery Hour. He does. Mystery Hour. You could do this with your eyes shut, man. I don't want to do him out of a job. We're very pleased with what he does for us, but I can see why you flirted
with
it.
Well, if he ever needs a holiday, please give me a call.
Do you know, we will. But you can stop now sending in all the love. For, what a sexy voice, this one says. It's ridiculous. I think that one means me, actually. I'll try and get, I must get you an answer to your question. Have a great day. It's 12:45.
As Bethany opened her Amazon parcel, her heart began to race. Waterproof LCD display and heart rate monitoring. This fitness tracker won first place with Bethany for quality and price. 5 stars from Bethany. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.
And my name's Stan.
I'm Anne. Nice to meet you.
So you took up photography when?
I've always loved photography, but I turned it into earning a living.
That's
at
right,
60.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enrolled on a day course.
What, college?
Loved going to college.
It's good you can retrain and do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about working, learning, saving, and making the most of living longer. Phoenix Group is the UK's largest long-term savings and retirement business. Search Phoenix Group Living Longer.
Mystery Hour.
As Bethany opened her Amazon parcel, her heart began to race. Waterproof LCD display and heart rate monitoring. This fitness tracker won first place with Bethany for quality and price. 5 stars from Bethany. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.
Health isn't someday in the future, it's now. It's same-day GP appointments when you need that niggle seen to. And getting the results for your cancer test fast. Health is a direct line to experts, whatever time of day you need it. And mental health support that doesn't have an expiry date. Feeling your best every day starts today. Search Bupa Health Insurance to get your quote now. Bupa, this is health. Pre-existing conditions not covered. Terms and conditions apply.
On LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 12:49. Thanks to Chris Brandish, who's found the video of me acting with Edwin Collins 157 years ago. And you're right, it was called West Heath Yard. Look at that. I'll retweet that as well. There you go. I'm right near the end doing some acting. Amazing. Oh. Anyway, back to the game in hand, which is Mystery Hour. Lots of questions still need answers, but not that many. The one about sperm, the one about dun-dun-dun, the one about words, and the one about birds. Birds and words and words and birds and birds and words and birds and words and words and birds. Jeremy's in Richmond. Jeremy, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, I'm Jeremy.
Okay. It's a very worrying one.
Okay.
It's concerning two cats in their 12th year who both started watching television.
Good Lord.
And so
is it The Gentleman, Guy Ritchie's new Netflix thriller?
No. We've since discovered there's YouTube cat channels as well. But look, we got a new TV.
Yeah.
Haruki walked into the room and just stopped and started staring at the television.
Really? And they'd never done this before?
Never. And then Marmite, his friend, walked in and sat there and started looking at the TV. And there's a photograph of them sitting watching TV together.
Wow.
And in their 12th year, they've never watched TV before, ever. It's a Samsung OLED TV. It's a kind of special screen, I don't know.
So something about the screen has hypnotized your cats?
Yes, but why are they watching? They haven't watched TV since they were babies. And why are they watching TV now?
That's extraordinary. And it doesn't matter what's on. We're 100% sure they're not attracted to...
They've watched the news.
Yeah.
They prefer their YouTube Squirrel Channel.
Watching little animals running around. So what is it about your new TV that has captured your cat's attention.
And they literally sit there watching, and it's very disturbing. I was thinking, is it a social trend? They see everyone walking around with phones, and they're getting embarrassed, so they think they ought to be looking
MOFO,
at the screen as well.
I believe it's called. No, FOMO, I believe it's called.
Oh, right. Fear of missing out, yeah. So perhaps they're suffering from FOMO. I don't know, but that's my question. There we go.
That's a brilliant question. And it's is it a 4D TV? Is that a thing? Is I've been reading about 4D?
God, it's a really expensive one.
How old was the old one?
Oh, God, that was really new as well. My partner broke it. She does Pilates video and she smashed the camera into it.
Sensational.
That was about 2 years old.
Oh, so it wasn't. It's not like you were using an old sort of cathode ray type.
No. The cats.
And thrice no. Well, I shall find out for you. I may not. It's quite late, but I shall do my best, Jeremy. Thank you. It's very good, by the way. If you like Guy Ritchie films, you'll love his new TV series, The Gentleman. Hard just seen it. It's pretty bloody, though. Like gory. Kate's in Belper in Derbyshire. Kate, question or answer?
Hello, it's Kate. An answer, James. Hi. We met. I saw you at Nottingham Playhouse. You were super. I think I was with a friend of yours.
You're Jenny's friend.
I am, yeah.
How lovely to hear from you again. Did you get your book all right?
Yes, I have. Thank you so much.
No,
really
thank you
kind.
So much. Thank you for coming. It was a great night. So you're here to answer... Well, I thought I would guess from your field of expertise, but there's nothing on my list that fits with your field of expertise.
Well, it's the when a word goes weird, when you
fantastic.
Say
yes,
a lot.
You write down
write
a word
a
or say it a lot, then suddenly you think that you're writing it wrong. Go on.
Yeah, it's called semantic satiation.
Whoa. Seriously?
I know, it's great, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, get in. Semantic satiation.
Yeah, it's called semantic satiation. Satiation.
Do you want to put your teeth in? Put your teeth in and try again. It's called semantic satiation. Yes.
Satiation, like when you're satiated, yeah. Full up. And it's, it's when we repeatedly say or write a word. And it's a sort of breakdown of the long-term auditory and verbal memory because we look at it several times and that function just kind of weakens and gives up because it's assumed that you already know it. It's in your long-term memory.
Yes.
It's a phenomenon known with language and auditory information.
So it is, because this is your field. Well, I shall ask you what your qualifications are and you shall tell us.
Yes, I'm a dyslexia specialist.
So this is all about word recognition and the kind of the mental muscles that you deploy when you're reading and writing and things like that.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is,
yeah. Beautiful answer. Round of applause for Kate, please.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Give my love to Jen. And I shall see you again. 12:54 is the time. Ollie's in Lingfield. Ollie, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Ollie.
It's the sperm question.
Oh, great. Carry on.
So
imagine if someone's just turned their radio on. Like, literally, because they can't stand me, but they like to get in a bit early for Sheila Fogarty. Hello, Ollie. Well, question or answer? Answer, James. What is that? It's the sperm question.
Well,
carry on,
it's
then.
Following on from the man with the sexy voice.
It is, in a way, yes. On we go.
So, anything that raises body temperature, i.e. gives you a fever, can kill off sperm because spermatogenesis sperm are very, very temperature sensitive. That's why testicles hang slightly outside the body.
That's why they hang low.
they do hang low.
Sweet chariot.
I was thinking more swinging and to and fro, but never mind. So anything that will raise body temperature will kill them off. It will also affect spermatogenesis, which is the growth of new sperm, which happens 3 to 4 weeks before they actually get to the point where they're going to be released. So a temperature will drop sperm count, i.e. number of viable sperm. It won't do anything to the genetic makeup of that sperm because that was set weeks in advance, weeks ago. But in a few weeks' time, the sperm that have been produced were in production, shall we say, whilst the fever or the illness was happening, they can be affected in terms of their viability, so their ability to actually swim, their ability to penetrate the egg when they get there.
But there's not going to be any impact on the health of the child.
No.
Because the sperm isn't going to get there.
Genetically they are set by a process that is set. The viability of them is in question, but the genetic makeup won't be.
Great answer. And even if you're having treatment or ICSI, then they're looking for the most wriggly sperm anyway. So even in those circumstances, it's not going to have a deleterious effect. What a beautiful answer. Question, qualifications?
I'm a farm animal veterinary surgeon, and one of my specialisms is bull breeding soundness examinations for cattle.
But bull what?
Bull breeding soundness investigations.
So, like bull sperm? Bull sperm tests? Bull sperm analysis. Quite a lot of money in that, isn't there? What's the most money that you've ever come across for a load of bull sperm?
Well, the straws that we deal with are 250,000, and it's not uncommon.
Shut the front door, and you see, Eleanor looks shocked. I knew it was going to be so. Yes, mate, I swear, bull sperm. We're all in the wrong business. So 250,000 for one lot.
250,000, no, as in 250,000, sorry.
Oh.
250,000, no, don't get excited. It's not that. No. It's not that liquid.
Flipping, eh?
250,000 tubes, and they can routinely cost £40 to £50 for a good bull.
Oh, I thought there was some rumours. I thought that, like, some, like, a mega bull could...
Yeah, there are. There's been a few in time that I think the most famous one that most people might have heard of outside of the veterinary industry or the farming industry is probably Pixton Shuttle. He was a very famous one.
That's the fellow. What did his sperm go for?
A lot. But there's not many now because he's obviously that was 15, 20 years ago, I think.
Covered a lot of ground. Round of applause for Ollie.
Expensive stuff out there.
There certainly is. Beautiful. I think the best stuff is called Gold Top. Chris is in Coventry. Chris, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
Hello, James.
Hello, Chris.
Love the fun of the channel. Right, so answer for the reason why the cats all of a sudden have started watching TV.
Yes.
And it's because modern TVs are built in such a way that they have a higher frame rate. Now, the human eye, to have fluid motion, needs to have between 15 to 20 frames per second, which is what a lot of gamer people will kind of attribute to. The higher the frames...
But the new telly's only 2 years newer than the old one.
That's true, but because it's an OLED, that also helps.
Oh, does it?
Because of the way that the... I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but essentially it's the frame rate's going to be higher.
So now, the cat is watching the flicker rather than the picture, as it were.
Yeah, so the cat's essentially watching a slideshow. And in between that slideshow, it's black and then coloured. So he doesn't find it very interesting. Now,
well, he does, apparently. Actually, he can't take his eyes off it.
Well, now it does, yeah, because
now he's seeing move. Now he's
They need to see 100 frames per second in order for them to see it as a fluid motion.
So he's seeing it more clearly.
Yes.
I've run out of time. Sheila's looking impatient. Qualifications.
I have four cats of my own, and I'm an avid fan of cats.
Well, yeah, but that's not a qualification. I mean, have you looked into it? No. How do you know what you've just told us?
So I actually came across this exact question 10 years ago when it piqued my own interest. I was wondering why.
So you dug it out, and you felt a round of applause for Chris.
Thank you.
There we go. We've done it. And unfortunately, we haven't got time for Matthew's answer to the dumb question. The winner is Sexy Voice Man. Sexy Voice Man on the Norfolk Broads, isn't it? I mean, it could have been a lot of competition this week. Everyone, I'd like to have given one to everybody. I'd already given Kate a copy of my book, so she can't have the board game as well. That would be preferential treatment. So there you go. Goes to Andy, Sexy Voice Man on the Norfolk Broads. If you missed any of today's show, did you hear Sexy Voice Man?
I did hear Sexy Voice Man. And I have to say, when you said nobody tells you you've got a nice voice, I think you have a lovely voice.
Thank you, Sheila.
I think it sounds like a very kind voice.
Oh,
I don't know whether you're very kind.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Routinely. Well, you've always been kind to me.
That's
you've always
what
been
a
kind
lovely
to me.
Thing to say.
Yeah.
Yada yada.
Never mind,
LBC
Norfolk
app.
Voice.
I know,
man.
Andy on the classic rock show.
How much has he had to smoke to get that voice?
Download now for free from your app store. Head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, Lewis Goodall in for Tom Sawbrick. But now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
As Bethany opened her Amazon parcel, her heart began to race. Waterproof LCD display and heart rate monitoring. This fitness tracker won first place with Bethany for quality and price. 5 stars from Bethany. With star reviews from you and star prices from us, start your search on Amazon today.